We got to get to what the metaverse is, and also the Facebook papers that were dropped to major news organizations, kind of shining a light on what Facebook has been up to. Not all of it so good. Abdel Saifan is joining us. He's the CEO of Chicago Cyber Security. It's a nonprofit based right here in the city. Abdel, how are you?
Hey, Anna, I'm doing well today. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad that you're here and you're able to explain this to us. First, what did you get out of the Facebook papers? It's pretty lengthy. There's a lot in there. What's your takeaway?
Yeah, so CNN actually did a very good job at breaking it down. In a nutshell, it's nothing new that we didn't already know, but it's good to see that it's coming from an internal source, right? Before, it was really wars in the air, right? We didn't have any real evidence, but we knew that Facebook weren't doing the right things. So in a nutshell, what came out of that was several things. The hate speech, human trafficking, inciting violence, the impact that Facebook has on teenagers' life, and ultimately the algorithm itself that's spreading misinformation. So it seems like Facebook was aware as early as 2018 on some of these things, and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't have the right mechanism to control some of these things, and they quite still don't understand or really have a path forward to remediating some of these issues. Mm-hmm. So it is a big concern, and of course the person who whistleblowed wants the government to step in and actually create some kind of laws around these. And of course, the UK and Europe, they've done a pretty good job at getting ahead of some of these things. But unfortunately, the US laws is still a little bit further behind.
You know, one of the things that came out there is in foreign countries, they did a particularly bad job, that there was human trafficking going on and mm-hmm. posting just horrible things that clearly illustrated that they were, that, you know, maids in the Philippines were being bought and sold, and some really, really terrible, terrible things. And I just wonder, I thought that Facebook had these teams of people that are constantly reviewing content. Are they suggesting that they knew about it and let it stay out there on the platform, or that they just didn't have a chance to get to everything? They didn't do a good enough job getting to everything.
They didn't do a good enough job. They knew about it. They just didn't know how to track it down, how to stop it from happening, right? And this is part of the problem of technology, unfortunately. Facebook has billions of users, and it's impossible to have enough staff who can possibly go through everything that's being exchanged, right? We're talking about billions of data that's being exchanged weekly basis, right? Mm-hmm. So the best way to really really remediate, mitigate the human trafficking and all other issues Facebook has is developing a technology that does a better job than a human would. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, seems like they still haven't developed a technology that's able to or capable of capturing some of these issues.
Mm-hmm. Still a ways to go there, I guess. Maybe we'll see if the government does it or if Facebook takes the takes it into their own hands. Sure. Right? Right.
Well, it's been, what, 4 years? Almost 4 years? yeah, but I do think this is a place where government should absolutely step in and establish some kind of rules.
Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the other thing we wanted to get to, the rules of the metaverse. This is something that you hear all the big tech titans talking about. Facebook says, mm-hmm. when Mark Zuckerberg was asked, why are you want to rebrand, why do you want to call it something else? Why not Facebook? He said, because mm-hmm. of the metaverse. We're no longer a social media platform. We're going to move into this metaverse. Mm-hmm. They're spending tens of billions of dollars hiring thousands of engineers. Please explain to us, Abdel. What is this?
It's funny you bring up the metaverse, because some people believe that Facebook is doing this whole metaverse thing to actually help people forget the other issues that they have at hand.
Right. Right? they may be connected.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that the metaverse, you know, it's actually, the term comes from a very popular book. And I do think that whether it's Facebook or not, it is a future that we are slowly gearing towards too. In fact, several years ago, a movie came out called Ready Player One. If you haven't seen it, just watch the trailer. It gives you a good idea of what the metaverse is. But ultimately, you put on a headset and you're in this virtual reality, this virtual environment. And within this virtual environment, you can go to concerts, you can play video games with your friends. And some video game companies actually have seen value in it this year because of the pandemic. People aren't able to see their coworkers. And Facebook was actually one of those who actually came up with a software that allows you to virtually interact with your coworkers, right? In a sense, it's creating this virtual world where you can pretty much do anything you can in the real world.
Mm-hmm. I did see Ready Player One. Steven Spielberg directed it. I read the book too, and you could choose your own avatar. Mary was asking, could you be slimmer and however attractive you ever want to be? And you could. You could pick your avatar, and you could be whatever you want. But then there's also commerce out there. You could. That's where you would buy and sell things, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You can buy virtual things, you can buy virtual things with real money, right? And I think one of the use cases is shopping. Now, imagine you can go to a store and, you know, see the clothes that you want to try on, right? It really gives you this sense of reality while you're just staying home, right? Now, of course, it has Facebook being the leader of this does bring some implication or issues that people are, wary of, right? But it's not only Facebook. There are gaming companies. There are other companies out there who are also developing this virtual reality environment because it's going to be a world where you can interact with, I guess, the virtual world, right? It takes more than just Facebook to make this a reality. Now, mm-hmm. of course, Facebook wants to lead it. I do think that every other tech giants have to participate in it for it to become a real thing.
I'm not ready to buy virtual things with real money yet. So I'm not ready to sign up yet, but I appreciate the explanation, Abdel. You made it sound like it makes sense, I suppose.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is what's coming, though. You believe that?
I do believe that it's coming. Now, of course, maybe in the next 10 years, that's where we might start seeing some real value out of it. But I do think it's coming. Virtual reality has been a thing that people have been fascinating with. I think what has slowed down the progress of it is the fact that you have to put on such a large device over your head, and a lot of people don't like that.
Yeah, you get a little claustrophobic. I could see that. All right, well, stay tuned. We'll learn more about this. Thank you, Abdel. Thanks for the explanation today.
Yeah, good talking anytime. Thank you.
Abdel Saifan, he's the CEO of Chicago Cypher Cybersecurity. He's a nonprofit. He often talks to us on Tech Tuesdays about different security ways we can protect ourselves. And good of him to jump in on that. First, I'm sorry, I forgot about you, Jeff Borrello. I don't know how I could possibly do that. We want to talk about your data. Is it safe? Is your device safe? Is really your life safe? Because I have my whole life on my cell phone, Jeff, and I think that's really what it comes down to. I've been promoting your appearance because I'm very excited to hear what you have to say. I was thinking about you this whole show because I'm like, you reached out to me and you said, you know what, Anna, I know we talk about security so much, but I've got a test that I want everyone to take, and it will tell you how we are positioned, how secure we are. And you even offered, you said, hey, Anna, should I give it to you in advance? And I said, no, don't give it to me in advance. We'll all do it together on the air. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, Jeff.
That's awesome. Well, you alluded to it, right? So the security is not a sexy topic, but you almost can't talk about it enough. The threats are ever present. It takes 100% of our attention to keep them at bay, which means you got to keep the security measures front of mind. So that's kind of what we're going to do here today. So
All right. As
you said, we're going to take just a short security assessment, or for those that are in school or really like school, you can call it a quiz.
Okay, do I need a pencil and paper? I like school, but am I going to need to write all this down, or is this something I can handle? Okay.
We're going to do it right online.
All right,
so for you like school, we'll call it a quiz for you then. So
quiz.
So here's the deal. So we're going to see how well you're protecting yourself, and hopefully you don't fail this test miserably and let all those bad guys out there know how vulnerable you are. But I guess the question for you, do you have a big hacker demographic that listens to the show?
Well, who knows who the hackers are? Does anyone really know who these guys are, or women are, as the case may be? I hope not. But you know what? Afterwards, if I get a lot of wrong answers, you're going to be helping me, Jeff, to correct myself and try to get myself more secure here. I'm going to need your help.
Fair enough. So here's what we're going to do. So it's six easy, pretty much yes or no questions. At the end, I will give everyone a website where the listeners can go and do this for themselves.
Okay.
But for now, we're going to run you. And I'm doing this right on the website so that you don't need to write anything down.
Okay.
So are you ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right, here we go. So the first question, do you use a password manager to store all your passwords?
I do.
Oh, look at that. We're off to a great start. Okay. Do you share passwords across multiple accounts, websites, logins? So this is like you're using the same password across multiple places.
I do.
Oh.
That's a bad answer. But you know, hey, can I throw something else out there? I do it,
yeah.
But only on some of the ones that don't store a lot of data. So if it's just I don't know, like my Wall Street Journal login or something might be the same as my one to the Tribune. Is that, I mean, that's not that bad, is it?
No, that's, you don't care if somebody's reading your Wall Street Journal, do you?
No. No, that's how I kind of look at it. But if it's more secure data, I use a distinct password.
Perfect. That's awesome. Okay, so next, do you use complex passwords for all your online accounts?
Mm.
And complex, we're usually thinking 8 characters, capital letter, number, symbol kind of thing.
Yes, I do.
All right, that. Do you have two-factor authentication, or sometimes called multi-factor authentication, enabled on any accounts that support it, especially if they contain private information, so banking, credit cards, that kind of thing?
I kind of leave that up to the banks, but I think that they do. A lot of the ones that store the secure. Yeah?
Yep, so there's an I don't, on this one I have an I don't know option, so if you're not sure, we can say I don't know.
All right, I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. Do you have antivirus type software, sometimes called endpoint protection, but do you have antivirus software on computers that you use, and is it updated regularly? And again, maybe you don't have a computer, so there may be a not applicable here.
No, I do. I have antiviral software.
Fantastic. Okay, last one. Do you back up all your files, photos, and important online documents regularly?
To the cloud. Yes, I do.
All righty. Oh, look at this. Fantastic. All right. So we're going to submit that, and you scored above 80%. So you're in pretty good shape there. So you did very well on that.
Okay. Where can we improve here, Jeff? You got some ideas for us?
I do. So here's where I'm just going to touch on a few of these. So password manager, this is a big deal. So the average person, this was a study that a NordVPN company did. The average person has about 100 passwords that they need to remember. In my case, in my password manager, I have 736 distinct passwords inside that password manager. So the only way to remember that many is you're going to either use the exact same password across multiple places, or you're going to use some version of the same password. And both of those are bad. One's really bad, the other one's bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being there, if somebody does get a hold of a password, the first thing they do is try all kinds of variations of that password. Stick a one on the end, stick a dollar sign on the end, that kind of thing.
That's not good.
So that's, nope, it is not good. So the solution to that is to use a password manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, every single password can be unique and it can be complex, because a password manager will generate a password for you that's 20 characters long, and you don't have to remember it because the password manager will plug it right into the website for you and it takes care of it.
Do you have any ones that you don't want to recommend any in particular?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm not going to recommend one, but I'll give you a tip. So one is, make sure that whatever one you're going to look at supports all the platforms you use. So if you use a Windows computer and an iPhone, make sure it'll work on both. If you use a Macintosh and an Android phone, make sure it works on those, because you want it to work on anything that you use, because if it doesn't work on one of them, it's going to become a hassle and you won't use it. So I will give you a couple popular ones, or LastPass, One Password, it's the number one in the word password, and then another one called Keeper. So those are kind of the popular ones out there. There's a lot of them. Stick with one that looks like it's a name brand and something that's got some history behind it. You can get into trouble with these kind of things if you just grab something that's a fly-by-night kind of place.
I think I have Keeper. I think they're a local company, and I did a story about them a few years ago, and that's when I signed up. But
fabulous.
Yeah, pretty happy about with it. No problem.
Cool. The next one's just complex password was another one of the questions. So this is hardly new. We've been talking about this for years. You got to have complex passwords, and the password manager solves that for you, right? Because again, the password manager is the key to making that happen. Is let it generate the passwords for you. They're 20 characters long. They look like a bunch of gibberish, but you don't have to remember them because it plugs them right in. We talked about this two-factor or multi-factor authentication.
Yeah, can you set that up on your own? Or I thought that your institution did it for you. Or whatever.
No, a lot of online applications will do it. Typically, it's an option that you can turn on. A lot of places are forcing it to be on now. So the idea here is that if someone would actually get a hold of one of your passwords, it's not going to do them any good, because this adds a second layer of protection. Is once you log in with the password, it then prompts you for the second layer. So, for example, if any you see these text messages with a 6-digit code, mm-hmm. that's a second factor of authentication. A lot of times they'll do it through an app you'll load on your phone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll do it by sending you an email. That one's a little scarier because email is one of the first things that get hacked. But generally it's associated with something on your phone, and it's considered know something, have something. So the password is something you know, and your phone is something that you generally have with you, so that you have now two different layers. They would need to get your password and a hold of your phone to be able to get past that.
Okay. And you think I can go into some of the things I subscribe to and turn on two-factor authentication? Is that something you can do?
Yep. A lot of credit cards, you'll be able to turn it on. Your banks, some of the banks will have it, so you can enable it for your account. If you're not sure, call your institution and ask them how to get that turned on. For any of those kind of things, banks, credit cards, anything that's got private information or something you wouldn't want the bad guys to get hold of, you should absolutely have this turned on.
Okay.
And then even for other things like Facebook, you think, oh, what do I care if someone gets into my Facebook account? Mm-hmm. But here's the deal with all of this stuff. One crack in the system often leads to more cracks, right? So somebody gets into your Facebook account, and pretty soon they're impersonating you, and they're able to get another piece of information, and they build this profile of you. And over time, one thing leads to another. So you really want to try to protect all of it as much as you can. Is it a hassle? Absolutely, but not near as much as getting hacked.
Who are these people out building profiles on all of us? I mean, it's really sophisticated stuff.
It used to be, you think of a kid down the street with a hoodie in the basement. That's not that anymore. There's literally buildings of people paid, but that's all they do. It's literally a job. They get paid, they have benefits, and they spend all day targeting people, targeting companies, whatever it may be, to try to get into there. So it's not the kid down the street anymore. Those days are over. Mm-hmm. These are sophisticated businesses.
All right, Jeff. I'm scared and a little bit more prepared than I was before I talked. Do you have anything else for us?
Just the last thing, I'll give everyone the website if they want to go take this assessment that we just took.
Mm-hmm.
It's We Network, which is our website. So WENETWORK.com/WGN1. That's the number one after WGN. And for those that are involved in a business, there's also a link on that page if you want to take an assessment and see how well your organization is set up to have your staff working from home. So again, that's WENETWORK.com/WGN1. And that's everything I got for you today, Anna.
Easy enough, Phil. That's a lot, and it really could help a lot of people, I think. I'm going to go and check into the rest of my security settings. Gave us some stuff to think about that, Jeff. You do deal with security at Andromeda Technology Solutions, your company. That's one of the things you do?
We do, yep. It's mostly for businesses, but it's absolutely, you can't be in this business these days and not have security being the first thing you're worried about.
I'll say. All right, well, Jeff, you helped us out a lot today, and thank you for that quiz. Very eye-opening. Appreciate it.
Good deal. Thank you, Anna.